Is your family a success?
Is there even a measure for family success?
We think there is. And with a 20-year track record of success, we're going to show you how to bless your family with success in your health, relationships, and finances. I'm Steve Keene.
And I'm Katie Keene. And along with some awesome guests, we are going to give you our secrets to family success. Welcome to Family Success Secrets. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Family Success Secrets podcast. We are so glad to have you back, and we are delighted to introduce to you somebody who I have followed for years and who has inspired and encouraged me in my own home along my own journey in the kitchen with my kids. Today, we have with us Katie Kimball. Her blog, Kitchen Stewardship, helps families stay healthy without going crazy, and I will attest to that. She is the national voice of healthy kids cooking. She's a blogger, former teacher, and a mom of four. And she founded the Kids Cook Real Food e-course, which was recommended by the Wall Street Journal in 2020 as the best online cooking class for kids. Yeah, so she's on a mission to connect families around healthy food and teach every child in America to cook as part of the kids' meal revolution. And I'm so excited to have you here today, Katie.
This is going to be good. I love thinking about the systems that you're teaching families, and success is what it's all about.
Yes, absolutely. And you have so many amazing things that you teach families every single day and that you teach kids. So we're super happy to be able to dive into that with you. So curiously, do you want to talk about how you fell in love with this? Like, where did you begin on this journey?
Ever since I was in preschool, I knew beyond a doubt I'd be a teacher when I grew up. Like, this was embedded in my heart for sure, a vocation, a calling. And that's what I did. I went to college, taught third grade for 2 years, but I also knew I always wanted to be a mom. And I had my first baby right at the end of my second year of teaching. And as a perfectionist, I wouldn't be able to do both well at the same time, right? Full time. So after just 2 years of my dream job, I left teaching to be a stay-at-home mom. And it wasn't long before I sort of started to have that like brewing and feeling in my heart, like I wanted to teach something. And I'd been really making a lot of changes in our own life in the field of nutrition, not really field, just the practicality, right? I was trying to feed my family better. Having kids does that to people quite often. And I was making a lot of mistakes, and I was learning a lot of tips and tricks and hacks, and moms in my own circles were echoing that it was hard. Right? It was hard to balance a budget and the time and like caring for the environment, getting it right for the family. And I thought, like, I've learned enough that I think I could help other people do this more easily, right? Stay healthy without going crazy. So that's sort of where this idea of kitchen stewardship came from, and started blogging. And I just felt alive, right? I was teaching again. I was doing a totally different form of teaching, just the written word, but I was able to interact with my community that I was building, and it really filled me up. And then later, out of a need in my community and out of my own desperation, like once I had four kids, I thought, gosh, I'm spending so much time trying to nourish these little bodies, like I hardly even see them. And that was a system that was broken, right? That was not working to serve anyone. And I thought, I need some help in the kitchen. I want them to know how to cook so that they can be independent adults and not have to learn by failure as many times like I did. And that's sort of where the Kids Cook Real Food e-course grew out of, along with my community saying, gosh, this is hard because I was never taught to cook. And I thought, if we're uncomfortable in the kitchen, we're not teaching our kids to cook probably. And that cycle would continue 20 years from now. Kids saying, oh, it's so hard to be healthy. I was never taught to cook. So again, the little teacher heart in me thought, I can help, right? I can sort of step in that gap and help moms in my generation feel like it's easy to get their kids in the kitchen and start these kids off well with healthy habits so that they don't have to break bad habits and try to heal chronic diseases when they're adults, but they can start well young. And so why do I love it? I love it because I feel like I'm making a difference. I get to hear stories from families like yours, where they're sharing the load, they're sharing responsibility, and the parents are less stressed. I hear stories about the kids building confidence in the kitchen, and I get to see pictures of their smiles holding out their food. Like I can't imagine a more fun job and a more uplifting and encouraging feeling inside.
Yeah, absolutely. So we were talking with our daughter the other day. You probably remember.
Yes.
And we were talking about self-confidence. Do you want to tell that story?
I don't think I'll tell it as well
okay,
as you.
Okay, I'll tell it. So we were sitting there with her and we were like just discussing self-confidence and said, what are some things that you would say if you were talking to somebody else and they wanted to help their kid have a self-confidence boost? And she rattled off quite a list. And one of the big things was teach them how to cook something. Yay. And yes, and she is one of the primary chefs in our home, which I have to say, all of our children are incredible cooks. And the kitchen in our home is actually one of our happiest places in our house because we are all together and there's just a happy energy in there most of the time. I can't always say that for after dishes, dinner or dishes, but <Yeah. laughs> during cooking, there's always just this sense of bond and there's good smells and the kids have good learning opportunities because we can talk about the different values of the foods and the nutritional value and the balancing of it. And anyway, the self-confidence it can bring alone is just a massive value.
Yeah, I think we live in a world where we've tried the last few decades to build self-esteem. We've tried the participation medal thing. Surprise, that didn't work. Like kids see inauthenticity quickly. And yeah. So how do we teach kids that they matter? Well, we give them jobs that matter, right? We train them in competencies where if you're nourishing another human being, like fulfilling a basic need, there's nothing to show that you matter more, nothing more meaningful. And so that's so powerful for kids to know that they're doing adult skills. Oh my goodness, don't get me started.
And just the positive affirmations that they can get, if they're able to be the one to bring something to a get together with their grandparents or their aunts and uncles, or just for their siblings, or it just matters. And frequently our smallest child will give big hugs to whichever one has helped him prepare a snack. And he's learning as well. He loves his kid knife. It really does matter. So it's nourishing the body, but it's also nourishing the soul.
Absolutely. And that's actually the tip I give parents when they say, how do I motivate my kids to cook? Like they're old upper elementary or tweens or teens, and they're kind of aloof and not interested. And I say, if you can just get them to be involved one time and then serve that food to someone else, like preferably maybe the grandparents are coming over or they're going to a potluck pre-COVID, post-COVID, there will be a post-COVID time because the compliments come very naturally. You know, nothing is forced about that. And confidence makes them want to come back and do more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does in our home bring a lot of, like you mentioned, just a balance too, mm-hmm. and a stress relief, because not only are the kids feeling good about themselves, it really helps us. And especially in larger family, when we can share that load and it's a joyful experience, it's wonderful. So what you're doing really will transform families. It does transform families.
That's cool stuff. Yeah. So you said that you were a teacher. I assume that it was more along your traditional type of things. It had nothing to do with the kitchen planning and meal preparation and that type of stuff, right? It's probably.
Back when I taught third grade, I was pretty famous between my husband and I for burning canned biscuits. Like that's how bad of a cook I was. Biscuits. I would burn the bottom every time. So we'd eat the top half and throw the bottom off the balcony of our apartment to the ducks. So no, nothing having anything to do with food.
Well, that is funny because you said when you started making that transition to cooking and the preparation and then planning and stuff like that, it reminded me that my mother, who she was the only girl in a house with four brothers, right? And so I don't know what amount of cooking she did there, because she said that she learned to cook on the phone with my grandmother, her mother-in-law. That's where she learned to cook a lot, right? For the stuff that she's like really known for in our family. Did you have a similar experience that way? Or did you just so much trial and error? Okay, I'm not so great with biscuits. Let's try this or that. How did you make that big transition from burning biscuits to what you do now?
Yeah. And P.S. burning canned biscuits. Like I didn't even make the dough. That has to be underscored because it's such a departure from where I am now. My mom was actually a pretty good cook. I'd say I grew up in the 80s. In the 80s, most people were very processed food households. And I'd say we were like a hybrid. So she did a lot of cooking from scratch, but not necessarily actually cutting vegetables. Like I'd never crushed garlic as a kid, which came back to bite me in college when I didn't know the difference between a bulb and a clove of garlic, and that applesauce pork was nasty. Yeah. So yeah, a lot of trial and error, a lot of just sort of being being interested. Luckily, I had the internet to learn from and to teach me. And actually, so it kind of went in reverse. I did learn a little bit on the phone with my mom when I was in college, but she actually read my blog. And my daughter, who's 12, was just the other day, she was so amazed. I was saying, oh yeah, like we didn't have homemade yogurt when I was a kid. Grandma didn't bake sourdough and all these things. And she said, well, what do you mean? How did she learn them? I'm like, she learned them from reading Kitchen Stewardship. So my mother actually has taken on a lot of these sort of natural food processes watching me do it.
That is so fantastic. I love it. So you just really dug in, rolled up your sleeves and got to work and learned it.
Yeah, made a lot of messes, made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. Wow. That is so inspiring though, because I think that's really encouraging. All moms can do it.
And that's Kitchen Stewardship's always been based on baby steps because it's all I can handle. And mm-hmm. I figured a lot of other moms were similar and I was right. We all just need one step at a time. We need to give ourselves so much grace. And I tell people it's incredible. If you just take one baby step a week, at the end of 1 or 2 years, you look back and go, wow. Like my entire kitchen habits have completely changed. So yeah, I know a lot of stuff now, but it was really baby steps. There was a small point in time where it was sort of opening the floodgates and I did a lot, but otherwise it's just one little thing at a time and you build up that knowledge.
Absolutely. I remember on our journey too with nutrition and health, it was one step at a time, just like you said, and every baby step felt huge. Just like that tiny little infant that's wobbling around and it felt so big. And now when we look back, we humorously laugh at how hard our first dairy-free cake was or different things compared to what we do now. And yet we're very thankful for everything we've learned and thankful for those experiences and can encourage other people that it gets so much easier. Just do the hard step, take it, let it feel bad, but do it. And it will feel like you're flying later.
It does. And find other like-minded people too, whether that's an online community or in your own hometown. I think that's so important because we live in this culture that doesn't make it easy, right? We live in a culture, especially for our kids, where school lunches and restaurant kids menus are rampant. They're all the bland same. It's basically bar food, right? It's horrible, non-nutritious, no colors, no vegetables. And that's how clearly our culture expects our kids to eat. So you have to be a little bit strong, right? You have to be a little bit confident in yourself to push back against that. And it's so important to have others around you who are doing the same thing, who are inspiring you to keep going and saying, yes, this is so important for your kids. No, we don't need kids' meals. We don't need kid food. We need our kids to eat real food, right?
Absolutely. So would you be willing to tell the parents about the kids' meal revolution? Because it is so cool.
Well, that's my way of hopping on my soapbox and pushing back against this idea and culture that kids need to eat different food than adults. They don't. They just need smaller portions, right? Some kids might need their food separated on the plate. Great. Deconstruct the meal, but serve kids the same food as adults. So it's my dream that a kid's meal can be redefined as a meal a child has cooked. Right? We don't need to have kids' meals be about the food. It's about the process. And I just find it's so important for kids' physical health, right? They eat better when they're involved. So important for their mental health. We've already talked about that confidence. That is crazy important when it comes to protecting our kids from depression, anxiety. All, you know, the family dinner is the seat of bonding. It's the seat of connection. And again, those are the antidotes to kids experimenting with drugs and alcohol, kids feeling lost in high school, right? Like we have to keep that family dinner time sacred. And it's so important, as we've talked with, for the family to share responsibility, to raise kids who can competently handle life when they leave home, right? I want my kids when they're young adults to be like meeting the person they're going to love forever, pursuing a career, like helping the world and not wandering around going, oh man, I don't even know how to feed myself. Whoa, frozen pizza. Like I want them to have those skills before they're 18.
Yes, us too. And actually we talk frequently here in our home that we want our kids to have their bodies nourished so that their body isn't seeking what it really needs. And they can then focus their attention because they have a nourished body on what they're really called for.
That's awesome.
You make an excellent point there. It's absolutely true. For our kids to reach their full purpose, they need to have a body that works. So Yeah, I know in one of the videos that you have, you mentioned, and it was so cool. And I wish, I'm going to have to make sure I have a link in my description for this video, where you talk about teaching kids to make a pot full of vegetables, stir fry. And it's so inspiring to hear your story in the video about how not even all the parents would eat it, but the kids would eat it. And they were so proud of it. And it's so inspiring.
Yeah, that story is from our summer camp. So when, you know, when it became clear in 2020 that camps and activities were closing down all over the country, parents were freaking out. And my team and I talked and we said, we got to do something. We got to figure out something to serve these families. And so kind of in quick order for us, usually in business, you plan big events like months in advance. So kind of in quick order, we threw together a free summer camp. And we ended up with over 10,000 families participating, which was incredible.
Yeah, it is.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it was awesome. They're all over the world too. So it was so fun to hear from people from Panama and Germany and China. And then they were all doing the same thing on the same day, which is why that stir fry story just melts my heart, because we were on like our live daily Facebook thing and the kids are sharing in the comments like, oh, we made our stir fry today. And someone else said, oh, we're making it right now. It's smelling really good. And I just thought, gosh, I kind of meal planned the world. Like, and all these kids are eating stir fry, which is all vegetables. This is definitely not what people think of when they think kid food. But over and over again, kids were trying new foods because of their involvement, right? Because they were involved. And it's just such a beautiful moment.
Yeah, you had 10,000 potential children who also felt really good about themselves that day.
Mm-hmm. And most families that we tend to attract have more than two kids. So
there you go.
Maybe 30,000 kids.
Fantastic. I absolutely love that. So yeah, I'm going to make sure that I get that link and put that in the description, because that video is so inspiring. So, wow. So as far as if a parent's still sitting there thinking, I don't know if I can get my kid to do this, or I don't know if I can do it. We all know that these parents can do it. So what might you want to say to them? What first baby step?
Yeah. So let's overcome those fears, right? So fear number one for parents is, I don't know how to cook, to which I say, don't worry. Like, it's important to be vulnerable in front of your kids, learn together. Yes. Oh, right. And the kids love, I was on the phone with a dad whose daughter finished our first level. And he said, one of her favorite parts is teaching him. Like, when in our videos, we would do something that he didn't know, or that a bad habit he had in the kitchen, like putting his finger down the knife. And so it's her pride and joy, right, to remind him of the proper kitchen skills. So learn together. And then I think the other biggest objection is the too messy, too slow. The kids are too messy. I cannot handle this mess. And they're going to slow me down. I got to get dinner on the table, or the family routine breaks down. The bedtimes will be late. Everyone will be tired tomorrow. This is not going to work. So to those I say, first, don't work with kids on something new right before dinner. It's going to be stressful. It'll all break down into a mess and they won't want to come back, and you won't like it either. Right? So be intentional about it. Choose a little time when the kids are happiest, usually after they've eaten, maybe a Saturday morning, or maybe after school snack or something, and just teach one skill. Break it down into skills. Don't feel like you have to teach your five-year-old a whole recipe, right? Just teach your five-year-old how to measure a teaspoon of salt, mm-hmm. right? Teach your eight-year-old how to cut a cucumber, because you can do that with sort of a dull knife. Any single skill that can empower them to be involved and to help out, but don't do it right before dinner. That's the magic right there. And then just keep your goal in mind, right? What do we want to do as parents? We want to raise healthy, independent adults. And if that's your motivation, you can make it happen.
Yes, absolutely. Oh my goodness. I agree.
That's really cool. And that was reminding me is that you're in there. They're learning with you more than just the components of a meal, because they're going to learn math, mm-hmm. right? In measurements and conversions of units and things like that. That's something that we've had to do quite a lot, right? Because you'll get different measurement systems in the different recipes, because we sort of scour and get cool ideas from everywhere. So you'll learn so much more. And then you get the added benefit of the bonding that you were both talking about. So that's definitely cool.
Right. And food from different ethnicities, you can talk about geography, and Steve, not only academic skills too. Like, I tell parents, the kitchen is the greatest educational environment that we have access to.
Oh, you got your own laboratory.
Yeah. Anything you want to teach your kids, whether it's of an academic nature or just personality traits, right? How to be resilient in the face of failure, how to have a good sense of humor, a heart of service for others, like all of that can be built while you're cooking together in the kitchen.
And in families with more than one kid, for us, we've really had to highlight how to take turns because everyone wants to use the hand mixer with me at the same time.
That's a good one. Yeah, not possible for five hands.
Right, right. A secondary benefit are those good conversations. Mm. There'll be great memories, great traditions, and you'll set yourself up for success with maybe some of those more difficult conversations that parents and children will eventually have when all of that's already flowing. So that's an added bonus, right?
For sure. Yeah. Experts say that when you want to have a serious conversation, right? Don't make eye contact. Right. Kind of the opposite of what the adults would think. Don't make eye contact because they feel like they're the deer in the headlights. So if you're driving and facing forward, that's the time to kind of have the talk, whatever that may be. Same thing if you're both cutting up vegetables. Yep. Yeah, the conversation flows, whether it's about what they did that day. Any parent of a teen or tween, if you tell them you can get your son or daughter to say more than, good, I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
That's a miracle.
That's right.
That's a win.
That's right. That's wonderful.
Oh, that's awesome. That's cool. I love that. So what would be for the audience listening, if you were to say, okay, here's something that I've done in my family or that my family does, or we did at grandma's, whatever the case is that you could say, here's a system that you could offer up that they can implement, that they would enjoy success with.
Sure. I'm not a huge like systematized person, but I think like you guys teach all the time, everybody has systems. Sometimes they're just not that great. So I guess two systems that we have in our house that really help everyone are I made a weekly chore list and it's in a page protector. And so the kids know every Saturday, they just sort of pass out the chores. And my daughter, who's 12, tends to take control because she likes doing that and I'm cool with it. And she makes sure everybody puts their initial by six chores. And by Sunday before you play, they have to be checked off. And that's amazing for me because I'm not constantly nagging. It's the list. It's not mom. So all I have to say is, oh, did you look at the chore list?
That's right.
Sorry. Right. So that's been really helpful for us. And mom and dad will put their name by things too, because I think it's important for kids to realize that we're all sharing the load. And then of course we have kids cooking night once a week.
Oh yeah.
So Paul and Leah are my older two. They're now 15 and 12. And when they were 12 and 9, I really felt called to volunteer at high school youth group, which was Sunday evenings right at dinner time. My husband, the realist, said, that's not going to work. He's, you're going to be so stressed out. You never have dinner done on time. I'm sorry, honey, but you're going to be throwing a half-done dinner on the table, trying to run out the door, and we're all going to be sitting there shell-shocked. I can't let you do this. I'm like, oh, shoot. So I decided to ask Paul and Leah if they would be willing to make dinner every Sunday so that I could serve at church.
Nice.
So that first year, they made the same homemade pizza every week. And they got really good at it. Then the second year, every other week, they did the old favorite pizza. And the in-between weeks, they had to start planning to make other meals, right? So it was this really cool, like gradual release of responsibility. But I want to underscore that we had taught them lots of basic skills first, right? Like they had the competency and the skills before we did this. Don't compare my end to your beginning, right? But it's worked really well. And then this past year has been sort of the third full year. And well, there's no youth group because of the pandemic. So we actually moved their night to Thursday by their request. And they've been more in charge of the planning. I don't remind them anymore, right? So we used to plan together in year two, but now they're in charge of the planning. And so they've had to learn by failure. Like when you don't thaw the meat, it adds 20 minutes and frostbitten fingers to your process when you're trying to make meatballs, for example. My poor son one day, he was like, I made all the meatballs, but I don't know if we thawed the meat all the way. And my fingertips kind of hurt. Buddy, you're like frostbitten by ground turkey there. So lots of learning from failure and learning from success too, because like you said, the little kids always say, oh, thank you, Paul and Leah. Dinner was so good. So, and that helps me. So now our third child's 9. So it's time for him to get in the game. And we just instituted where he's going to sous chef once a week for someone. Whether it's the kids or me or my husband, which reminds me, we got to choose his day this week. It's a new system, which means we break it a lot. But that just helps the family and helps the kids so much.
Absolutely. Something that came to mind while you were talking about how your kids did that was something that we also noticed here as our older kids also started taking on more, because our oldest is 16, almost 17. Okay. And then our second is 14, almost 15. And executive functioning skills, just like you said, it was this opportunity for them to begin to shine in their new developmental abilities, because they were having to think through exactly what you said. Oh my goodness, the meat is not thawed. And I don't even think the Instant Pot can take care of this tonight. Like, now what are we going to do? And they learn for the next time. Yeah. Plan ahead. And mm-hmm. it is really amazing to watch them blossom. And I think as parents, I think it builds our self-confidence too at this stage, once they've had these years of training, because it really feels good to say, oh my goodness, we did it one baby step at a time, but look, they're doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. That executive functioning, that is so important. And that's why, so we tell people, like in our advanced level, our third level of our e-course is where we save making a whole meal, because juggling multiple dishes at once takes a lot of executive functioning, trying to figure out, you know, timing, how to figure out when to start, when everything's done at the same time. I still struggle with that. But yeah, and they're so different. My son Paul would say, gosh, Leo was gone once, and he said, I don't know how to plan all this out. Leo always does that part. He said, I feel like I'm walking around. I don't know what to do next, because she's the organizer and she keeps them straight, which I just think is so sweet. And then if she ever has to cook herself, she's, oh, I have to touch the dough. That's gross. Paul always does this part. I don't like the feeling. So it's sweet to see the sibling bonding and yeah. the difference in their executive functioning too.
Yeah,
that is cool. So it sounds like they mesh together very well there at the home kitchen. Curiously, does your husband or the kids, are they involved in what I'll just air quote as the family business of doing this, and what you're teaching and the video lessons and all that? Are they all learning in it so that they're also picking up maybe business skills as you go?
Yeah, I sure hope so. What a crazy unconventional life we live as entrepreneurs at home, like making our own rules. And because I teach kids to cook, for sure, for the last 5 years, my kids have been intimately involved as the actors in our videos. They've gotten the opportunity to be on TV. So talk about getting over the biggest fear in adults, public speaking.
Yeah.
You know, I've taken kids and food on live TV, which is very risky. And so yeah, Paul, my 15-year-old, he's been editing our videos for not the pro ones, but he edits like our kind of day-to-day like on free videos that we put out. And so I'm almost starting to think, he's a sophomore and he says he doesn't know what he wants to be when he grows up yet, which is okay. But I feel like he might be leaning toward video editing and media, which is so fun to see. And yeah, Leah started her own YouTube channel during the pandemic, teaching crafts and cooking. And so I can totally see that what we do as a family business is kind of starting to have an effect on them and on maybe their life choices, which is exciting. I would love to raise people who, even if they don't become entrepreneurs, at least have that entrepreneurial mindset and that drive of, I can do what I set out to do. I don't necessarily have to stay in other people's boxes, mm-hmm. right? And do what everyone else is doing. I like to raise free thinkers, independent, conscious thinkers.
Absolutely. Us too. And something that we've learned is that even if someone doesn't choose to be an entrepreneur independently, that mindset in a workplace is of tremendous value. So they will better wherever they decide to work, because they're learning that mindset in your home and working alongside you guys and learning, watching you. So that's really fantastic.
Yeah, it's cool. Because also when I came out of high school, I joined the Navy. So I was able to jump right in on a thing and start doing it. We'll take you straight from high school. We'll teach you everything you need to know to do the job, and off you go. And I find so many people show up to apply for a job and they don't have any of the experience. And the question is always, well, how am I supposed to get experience if no one will ever hire me to get experience? But your kids are coming out of the house mm-hmm. with experience with not only how to do smart things around the house and to take care of themselves, but they're coming out with some bona fide skills that they can say, I've been editing video for 2 years or 3 years and I can do this in production. And so, hey, there's just another win for the family there.
I hope so. And actually, Paul is a published author, believe it or not.
Cool.
Yeah, we had 3 or 4 years where twice a year we'd get together with other online people who own online family businesses, where both the mom and dad are involved in the business. And so these kids got to meet other kids from entrepreneurial families, right? And got to see like how we helped work on each other's businesses. And that was sort of the goal of these meetings, was that the parents really wanted our kids to feel like that's normal. Right? To feel like entrepreneurship is normal. And out of that, the five oldest kids actually wrote and published a cookbook that came out in May 2020. It's called Chef Junior. And so Paul's principal emailed and he said, when you are going to get a job, high school kids, someone may someday ask you, what did you do during quarantine? How did you spend that time? And I'm like, man, Paul gets to say, I did podcasts and TV interviews for my book. Like, what a crazy life that we lead.
I want to put the link to his book. Do you I will have to talk to you after to get a link and put it in the description because our audience will want to look him up.
Awesome.
That is so fantastic. How exciting. Yeah. Oh, Katie, these are just great tips for all of our families that they can take and be encouraged and know it's just one step at a time. It's not everything at once. This is the end result of little tiny things built up over time, and they bring you closer together and they teach the kids to be in a lot of ways happy because things that some of their friends are feeling are difficult, they won't even think twice about. They're just going to have it be automatic. So
yeah, well said.
Yeah.
No, that's cool because I get the feeling that you can't start too early and that it is never too late, right?
Very true. Very true. People often ask me, well, what age do I start? And I say two, maybe 18 months if you got a mature kid, and their jaws drop. Like, what do you mean two? I said, yeah, give them a butter knife and a banana, teach them that skill, get them started. They're most motivated intrinsically when they're before five and six. So you want to take advantage of that so they stay motivated for when they get older. And absolutely, let's give hope to all those parents whose teens don't know how to boil water yet. Yes. That's okay. There are a lot of college students who are Googling how to boil water. That's concerning. So yes, you can always get those teens involved. And like I said, if you can incorporate a little bit of that serving others in order to build competency and confidence, that'll start to motivate them to come back. Plus, I don't know, my kids always say, when people say, well, why do you like knowing how to cook? Especially Paul, my teenager, says, because I get to choose what we eat.
Very good.
That's very motivating. Teenager,
that's very motivating to be in charge of something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. I love how you say age two, because we have photos of our older two. And one photo stands out in my mind of our oldest, who's now the one that's almost 17. And he was about 18 months old. And it was Christmas. And he was in the kitchen helping us make a pizza. And he had on an elf apron with jingle bells and an elf hat that came with the apron. And we found that picture recently and he looked back with fond memories like, oh, I didn't realize I was so little when I started learning to cook. And we said, yes, that was back in your sous chef days. Because when they were little, that's what we would call them in the kitchen too. We'd say, oh, you get to be our sous chef. And so they loved it. So yeah, the kids, they take pride in it. They love it.
What a treasure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that you're encouraging the parents with teens who don't know. It's okay. They'll learn quickly now. And you don't have to worry about starting with dull knives. Just start teaching them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's super cool. That is great. So I'm glad that you have a worldwide audience and the good message that you're spreading there is going out. And so for our audience, where can they find you to learn more about you or to find the books, the resources, the podcasts, all the different stuff?
For sure. We are at kidscookrealfood.com. And if you want to see Kids Cooking Night, Instagram is usually where I share that at Kids Cook Real Food. So we're ready to help all the families out there.
Nice.
Fantastic. And I will also have links in the description, everybody. So go ahead and check those out on the podcast description as well. Katie, we can't thank you enough for sharing this time with us and with our audience. It's been a lot of fun. Yes. Such a treasure.
It was delightful. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Certainly.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks for listening and spending time with us today. If you know anyone who could benefit from this podcast, we would be honored if you would share it. Please rate, review, subscribe, and download.
Head over to podcast.familysuccesssecrets.com to have a top-rated family success secret sent straight to your inbox. We look forward to spending time with you again next week during our next episode. See you then.
Bye, everyone.